The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the give. Cole Feely bounces to the outside. 25-20, 15-10, 5-4-3-2-1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
All right, the next item is a request from Warren Averett for authorization for out-of-scope services associated with the annual audit.
Should that have been something that they should have came to the council or the city to approve before they done the work, instead of doing the work and then coming to us?
I would have preferred that. I found out about this when I received the letter on the 7th of July. That they were going to be requesting these additional funds. This is not a bill. They're not presenting this for payment, and they don't know what the total amount will be, but it does say they will provide a discount at the end. It's above my threshold to approve. That's why it's here before you.
So if you don't remember the history, or you just haven't been tracking the story, what had been going on in Milton, and I know I'm a little long on time since this all took place. This is actually a meeting about 2 weeks ago now. Because Milton has had a bunch of meetings. So I am way behind. I'm covering my Milton, but don't worry, we'll get there. we'll cover it all. I never let Milton squeak by. So what had happened is we got this news that, you know, there were problems with the reconciliation, which is a checking mechanism on the payments. It's not the payments themselves. It's not missing money. And there's been no, and I'm going to say this as many times as I can, there has been and still is no evidence that any even a dime of money is missing or had been inappropriately used. Okay? That's something that seems to get lost a lot in this conversation, so I want to make sure and say it. But the reconciliation, which is like your verification of the various journal entries, your accounting numbers, that everything is, you know, not just that it was done, but that it was verified that it was done. That's the part that had been not performed properly going back to like October of 2024. This was an issue. So Curtis Krebs, the CFO, winds up losing his job over this entire thing. He says he didn't do anything wrong. He blames problems at the city, but there was also this cyber attack or the problems in the middle, January of this year. I think probably related, because if you're behind on doing things and you're kind of accustomed to catching up before the audit starts every year, then, you know, it's not a big deal. But if all of a sudden you can't do the catch up, maybe or maybe not. There's some of this, you know, we'll find out maybe later, maybe never. But Warren Averett, who is the auditing company, has been working extra to make sure that the things that they're trying to basically get all the back numbers on the reconciliations, they're not doing them, but the staff has been working to get the information that they're supposed to have available. And along the way, they've been kind of supplying the numbers to the auditor as they batch them, basically, the reconciliations. And then the auditor's been looking over and saying, yeah, that looks good, as they're trying to get caught up to get the audit done so that they don't lose state funding because there are time frames involved. That's kind of a short version of where we're at. Well, Warren Averett is doing more work than they normally have to do, so there's going to be a bill. And they've come to the city with kind of an announcement that, well, you know, look, hey, if we have to bill at full rate, it's going to be, you know, we don't have an actual number, but we just want to let you know there's going to be more, and we're going to discount you, but it's going to be more, and it's going to be a lot. It's not something that the city administrator or the city manager, sorry, Ed Spears, can just, you know, it's not under his threshold. That's the background here. So there's going to be a lot of conversation. Gavin Hawthorne, Robert Leake was the second voice you heard there. Gavin Hawthorne, city council member.
My only concern was when it states the total estimated cost for the remaining out of scope of work is not yet available. That throws a flag for me. I don't want to ever sign up for anything that we have no idea what the cost is going to be. So tabling this, I think, is the best decision for this topic.
Because partially they don't know how much the dollar amount is. They don't want to just give a blank check approval. Also because the auditor is not able to be there that evening particularly. And so they want to have a meeting where she can actually be there, which makes perfect sense. Mike Cusack.
I don't agree with this. If you want to table, I guess I'm in the minority on that. I think it should be voted on tonight in the council meeting. Either yes or no. That's my opinion.
I always find myself at least befuddled, if not just horrified, by the things that Mike Cusack comes up with. So his answer is, well, we should just vote on it when we don't even really have the person here to explain it to us. We should just vote on it. Just do it. Okay. Maybe you could just pause and she could come to a meeting where she could explain things a little bit better, and then you could vote on it, sir, instead of, I just don't agree with this and we should vote on it. Okay, I mean, I don't know, whatever. He just, like I said, he always manages to come up with an answer that I was not expecting a normal person to think of. Heather Lindsay, the mayor.
It's been my understanding from Ms. McAllister that everything she did was discussed with Mr. Spears before it was done, and I thought that the council had generally agreed with Mr. Spears that we were in a crisis situation.
Okay, so Christian McAllister is the Warren Averett person, the CPA, who's doing the work on the audit. And always remember that, you know, somewhere in the background with Heather is that she, along with Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow, dislike Ed Spears, don't like working with him, and wish they could get rid of him and find somebody else. This goes back to the days of Randy Jorgensen and Alex Andrade and the Scott Collins and the text messages and the show. So, yeah, there's like, Milton's always a Russian novel, okay? And you got to understand the history. So whenever Heather is talking, particularly about things going on in the city, if they relate to Ed Spears, there's a subtext of, is there a way to turn this into getting rid of Ed? Okay, so just kind of keep that in mind. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I thought Ed knew about all this. I thought Ed approved all of this. And here he is coming to us saying, I didn't approve all of this yet. We need your approval for this.
I interpreted this letter as the auditor is letting us know we have reached a point where there's quite a significant amount of overage as far as hours and the value of that time. I'm sure y'all all noted, we expected to pay $45,000 for this audit. It's possible we'll end up paying $100,000. I mean, it's going to be extensive.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot. And yeah, that's how I understood it as well. The idea is that, hey, this isn't just like, you know, a couple of $1,000s at the margins of our contract. This is a lot of money that we have been, you know, incurring because of the result of us having to do extra work to have meetings, to work with your folks, to, you know, catch up from whoever's responsible, not having the reconciliations done properly, which you're supposed to deliver all that stuff to the auditor in a done fashion. And she's basically, you know, that hasn't been done. So the city has kind of neglected their portion of the contract. And so there's going to be overage. And the question is how much.
And when you look at the contract, and I encourage everyone to do so if you haven't yet, look at what is expected of the city in that contract. Did we do right by Warren Averett? I mean, it's my sad conclusion that, you know, this government has let down the voters, has let down the residents. And this is a terrible situation.
Now, one way to read that is just Heather feeling responsible as the mayor and apologizing to Warren Averett and to the people on behalf of the city. Another take on this is, well, I feel that we've let them down. Well, who has let them down? Well, Ed Spears has let them down. You know, you have to decide how you're going to interpret this. I'm just telling you what I hear in it is, you know, the subtext or the pretext or the prologue to, you know, making some kind of a generalized or very specific complaint about Ed. You know, it was under Ed's oversight that all of this took place, they might say.
So we'll pull the item off the agenda tonight, and we will call a special meeting for next Thursday on this topic.
Yeah, when Krista McAllister can actually attend and participate. Mike Cusack.
I believe at the last council meeting, we were told Mr. Spears was going to bring us some information on forensic audits.
Now, that's different than the general audit that they do every year, which is what this has been about so far. This is, you know, we need a forensic audit to come back in and figure out the special problems that created this whole situation. And that had been discussed, and that had been, you know, instructed Ed to go looking at that. And so he's like, I thought you were going to be doing that.
I don't see it. I haven't seen an RFP go out for a forensic audit unless I missed it. Has that been initiated.
And by the way, just as a side note, Mike could have just called Ed and asked him this question. This does not have to come up in public. Right? Every time Mike Cusack wants to make a point, and other people do this as well, but every time Mike Cusack wants to make a big show of something, he asks it in public, which, I mean, it's fine. It's his right. He's a city council, and, you know, Ed works for him and them. But he could have just called Ed and said, you know, hey, what's the status of the forensic audit? This didn't have to be a big show. But again, Mike and Marilyn and Heather are very much in the Pitchfork posse pocket kind of folks, and they're very much anti-Ed Spears.
It has not. And, Councilman, the information that I've gathered on this topic is, number one, you have to clearly define the scope of work and the quote-unquote problem that you've identified that the forensic audit will answer the question of. In talking with Warren Averett, they believe we're premature in developing that question. We simply don't know because the reconciliations haven't been completed. The audit hasn't been completed.
Which is a perfectly sufficient answer. We don't know yet what went wrong in the regular accounting. Therefore, it's premature to order a forensic audit. Warren Averett concurs with me about this. This is not something that we know enough about yet to actually handle. And we're waiting until we have more information. So he's answered Mike Cusack's question.
What my intention is to enter or issue a request for qualification for audit firms that can conduct forensic audits, to get those firms before you to get a qualified list, so that once we have the audit completed and you have the scope of work and the question that you are asking the forensic auditors to answer, you have a qualified list that you can then begin to get proposals for that specific list only from those you've deemed qualified. So a request for qualifications, you determine the most qualified firm. Once you have the scope of work, you then ask for a price quote from that company for that scope of work. You choose them or you don't at that point in time. And that's the procedure I will be following.
So again, Ed's laid out very clearly what the process is, why it hasn't maybe gone quite as quickly as Mike Cusack wants. But keep in mind that Mike's ultimate goal always is to, you know, embarrass, accuse, criticize everybody. I mean, that's kind of his demeanor towards everybody, but particularly towards Ed Spears.
So we didn't start that qualification procedure yet then, have we?
Correct. Like, I just explained to you what's going on, sir.
We haven't. The purchasing department is putting that document together. It will be going out as soon as it's ready.
And time frame for that? Do you know? Week, month, 2 months?
A response for something like that, it would be 2 week response period.
Okay.
These companies will have those packages together because they respond to them all the time.
So even though I've already answered your question, yes, we're already prepping this, working on it, but we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's be, you know, appropriate in the request because we're asking them to do special stuff. We need to know which special stuff we need to ask them to do before we can even put this out.
So you were in the process of doing that already then, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So just not ready to present to council then, correct?
It wouldn't be presented to council. I'm going to get it on the street as quickly as possible. We'll bring the responses to you. City staff will not evaluate them. Council will determine how you wish to evaluate them, and you will select the list and qualify those you wish to ask the question of at that point in time.
Okay.
Staff will stay hands off on this.
Quickly as possible is 2 weeks? Is that what you're saying?
I would say by your August council meeting, you'll have the proposals.
We'll have the information in front of us, that's correct?
That's my goal. Yes, sir.
Okay.
But once again, staff will be hands off. We will receive them and we will hand them to you, and you will open those packages. We will not open them.
Because there's sort of these lingering and sometimes overtly questions about who's reporting to whom, who's responsible for what, and the city council wanting to, you know, have direct information, not have it mediated by the city manager in case, you know, somehow or other he's to blame. So they're not even going to open the envelopes on the proposals. They're going to bring them right to city council. And again, all of this, Mike could have picked up the phone and asked Ed all these questions. Did not need to do this in public, but he's always looking for some kind of a gotcha to be the tough guy who's out there, you know, prosecuting for the people and making sure that stupidity is exposed, which I just think sometimes it exposes in places he did not expect it to expose. Anyway, Heather Lindsay.
I see our auditor has come tonight. We didn't know you were able to join us this evening. The council had tabled the item because they didn't think you would be here to answer questions. So the item is actually going to come up on July 23rd.
So she showed up late. not, I mean, I don't know whose fault or what the situation was, but, you know, somehow or other, Chris McAllister showed up, but it was after the vote to table the item to move it to a special meeting. And so the only thing that came up here is, you know, Ed Spears asking her a question.
I'm sorry that you came all the way over here without realizing. We did not think you were able to come. I'm so sorry. No, thank you for everything you're doing. We really appreciate you and your commitment to Milton.
Kristen, since you're here, I will ask you the question. Did I accurately portray the process for a forensic audit as we discussed?
Yes, that is correct. You do need a scope of work and an identified problem to be able to have the forensic auditors investigate. So, correct.
So, again, Ed, who is... rightly feels attacked by Mike Cusack and probably by Heather Lindsay, is saying, but the part I explained about why we have to wait on a forensic audit and what we're looking for there and where we're at in this process, to the extent that you were here during some of that, or you might have listened on the way over on your phone or something like that, did I say it right? Yeah, you said it right. Which is, I mean, correct. He's, you know, doing his job, doing it the right way. And it's nice to have a sort of outside person confirm, you know, yeah, I mean, what he's saying, you should listen to him because he's saying it right. And we've been working together a lot. So this is a TBD. This is a we're not done yet. You know, we're not not finished yet with the drama. That was part one. What do I always say? Multiple parts. There's multiple parts. And this is just one meeting, and there's several others to come. But there are multiple parts of the drama today. That's the one dealing with the audit and the accounting stuff. I will give you just my suspicion, okay? My suspicion is that when this is all said and done, it's going to turn out to have been purely the bookkeeping stuff that was not done properly. That's not that that's okay, but I suspect that when we get all done, everything will be essentially, it'll be a nothing burger. No money will be missing. It'll be purely a matter of these accounting protocols not having been followed properly. And the audit will cost extra money, okay? But then again, in the meantime, you're not paying a CFO, so, you know, some savings involved. And it's going to wind up basically being a giant nothing, is my expectation. I might be wrong, but that's just my expectation at this point. Hey, if you need work done in the complex systems in your home, the plumbing, the heating, the air conditioning, the electrical, a generator, anything like that, Peden can take care of you for that. They've been doing business here in the area since 1969, started in Panama City with air conditioning, but quickly expanded product lines and also expanded geographically from Tallahassee all the way to Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field. But then in the last couple of years, even expanding into Alabama and to Baldwin County and to Mobile. So good people, good products, good installation, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on all their work. And right now you get 2 years of smart care free with your new air conditioning system purchase from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off repairs included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose. And millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for Mayor.
Hi, folks. Fred Jury, owner of West Florida Vacuums, asking you to tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30, when I will be on the show discussing how West Florida Vacuums can assist you with vacuum repairs and purchases. If you can't catch the show, please call us at 448-994-0195 or visit westfloridavacuums.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
You know, sometimes you want answers.
Sometimes you just want something upbeat.
Either way, Meg's got you covered. Pet Talk, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Good night and party on!
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So lots of things going on internationally right now. We've got the, we're waiting to see if maybe some Iran peace talks are going to happen because we paused, we didn't pause. We get announced that there's pauses, but they're not really pauses for the, I don't know. We'd never know where we're standing on this. Allegedly, there's also a deal on the table for Hamas, but I read a really good long analysis of this and... There's a long way between here and there of essentially, will Hamas surrender not only its big weapons, you know, rocket launchers and that kind of stuff, but also its light arms, its AK-47s and so forth. And we are a long way from any of that actually happening and a lot of contingencies from their side and from Israel's side. But it looks like progress. And, you know, it might turn out to be nothing, but a step or two in the right direction is still at least a step or two.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Choosing the path toward diplomacy again, that from President Trump who cancels a major strike inside Iran, the president on board Air Force One.
Frankly, Saudi Arabia didn't want it either. They thought that the deal is imminent.
According to the president, talks will resume today aimed at finalizing an agreement on the Strait of Hormuz. Trump says he was asked by Qatar, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia to hold off, and diplomatic efforts are playing out.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv, the price of oil retreating this morning. A final full day of campaigning in a host of states holding primaries tomorrow, including Michigan, where candidate Abdul El Sayed says he's not a Democratic Socialist. He's drawing plenty of support from Senator Bernie Sanders. The doctor faces off against Congresswoman Haley Stevens. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees with looks like mostly clear skies right now. And we'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up here in just a few minutes. A stalking charge against a Pensacola car dealer accused of harassing the owner of Taco Rock 29 has now been dropped. The state attorney's office says prosecutors couldn't prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. Adam Alishkar had been accused of harassing Taco Rock 29 owner Myra Ramirez over a parking lot dispute involving an FPL easement. According to the News Journal, Alishkar called the dismissal vindication, but Ramirez said it did not mean that he's innocent. She does still have pending civil injunction against him. Fire heavily damaged the 98 Treasures Antique Mall in Gulf Breeze on Saturday. It happened on the business's third anniversary. Fire Chief Shannon Stone says crews were able to put out the fire within about 20 minutes, but the building may be a total loss as the preliminary findings suggest an electrical short in the attic, which burned undetected for a little while. No injuries were reported, and the state fire marshal's office is investigating. Firefighters also quickly put out a fire Saturday at the Homestead Village. That's an assisted living community on Pine Forest Road. Crews responded to that one at about 9 p.m. and found most residents already outside of the building. No injuries were reported, and crews are now assessing the damage there. Well, hundreds of local families got a boost this weekend ahead of the new school year. Feeding the Gulf Coast teamed up with State Representative Michelle Salzman
and several local groups for a giveaway that happened at Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Every child gets a full backpack. It's got all the school supplies that you need for the year, well, for the beginning of the year. And then they've got a week worth of groceries, and the groceries are fantastic. We buy them from Feeding the Gulf Coast.
And that is Salzman. She talked to Channel 3 about the event, and organizers handed out over 500 backpacks, and they say enough food for 500 families for a week. Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida is leading the nation when it comes to arresting people in the country illegally. He told Fox over the weekend that nearly half of all immigration arrests made by state and local law enforcement nationwide happen here in Florida. A 65-year-old Crestview man died after a crash on Friday evening in Okaloosa County. Troopers say a 21-year-old Fort Walton Beach woman was turning left onto Green Acres Road when her truck turned into the path of a southbound sedan. The driver of the sedan was taken to the hospital where he died. She suffered only minor injuries in that crash. And it is 5:34. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be seeing a hot day today with temperatures warming up near 91 degrees. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Tuesday, 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Wednesday, another 20% chance of rain, high near 91. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
72 with mostly clear skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
With your money now. AstraZeneca shares have dropped by as much as 7% after a report that the UK's largest drug maker was in talks with US peer Bristol Myers Squibb over a mega deal that, if completed, could value the companies at roughly $400 billion. The Financial Times reports that the companies have discussed a potential merger over the last several months. Trump Media and Technology Group has launched its new paid data service, providing faster access to Truth Social posts from President Trump and other top accounts on the platform. CNBC reports that the launch comes after Democratic Senators Adam Schiff and Elizabeth Warren took aim at the new service, urging the SEC to investigate whether the company is violating the law. China's Chery Automobile said it has agreed to invest $75 million in South Korean automaker KG Mobility Corporation through convertible bonds. If converted into shares, the bonds would give Chery a stake of about 10% in the company. Futures are moderately higher. That's your money now.
My name is Trey McMullen, and I'm running to be your state representative, not Tallahassee's. District 2 isn't just another district. It's an engine. Families, veterans, first responders, teachers, and small businesses are the fuel that keeps it running. But every engine needs a spark plug. That's the role I intend to play. Not powered by PAC money, not directed by special interests. Powered by the people of District 2. My mission isn't just to pass laws. It's to connect veterans with resources, connect employers with workers, connect families with opportunity, and to ensure your voice, not a lobbyist, is heard in Tallahassee. On day one, I'll hit the ground running to deliver real, measurable results. Because District 2 deserves a representative that works for the people, not the PACs. Vote McMullen this Republican primary.
Paid for and approved by Trey McMullen Campaign for Florida House, District 2, Republican.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Erin Neiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Neiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Neiswanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Neiswanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
It's that time of year again. Hurricane.
campaign season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
The hip, the hip, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, we have a fun day ahead. This is going to be interesting. For the wrap, it's always have a couple of friends in studio and we just talk about the issues of the day or whatever's on our minds. In this case, it's first for both, actually. First, we have representative, state representative, and former head of the Escambia County PTA. I like to always remember that, where she came from. And a veteran. Michelle Salzman is in the house.
Go so, Army.
Yeah. So whenever we have Michelle Salzman around, we always like to remind people.
Mark safe from Michelle Salzman today.
I have great sound clips for her because when she filled in for me that one time and had a blast. And I don't get to use your Stink Eye John clip because John's not here anymore, but I did love that one too. Of course, the one that we use the most.
What the Florida?
And then possibly my other favorite.
Oh, you want to do Traffic on the Five?
Well, nobody,
there are no wrecks except for the one here, sir. John.
And also her husband, the one who is always just sort of, I won't say quite trailing behind, but, you know, grabbed and gone. Like, that's kind of Michelle has to go to all these things, and Phil Hollows has to go with her. They make a great sort of the hot air balloon and the brick, you know, if you know that kind of metaphor for their relationship. But Philip Salzman, who is himself a very accomplished tech person and a dear friend and a wonderful guy, and occasionally gets confused for me by people who don't know any better.
It happens.
So the reason I wanted to have you both on today partially is because Michelle – you started all the data center stuff.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm just transparent. People were like, data center. I'm like, oh, yeah, we were talking about that. And then they're like, you're trying to kill us all. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is wrong?
So, yeah, so she's responsible. The reason we have to put up with this lunacy is Michelle, basically.
I thought it was just a Facebook status.
It's okay.
Just a Facebook status, right. There's no such thing as just a Facebook status anymore. But, Philip, you posted something the other day, and it's a little long to just read on the radio, but the short version was that when you had begun, for years you were anti-AI,
oh, yeah, of course.
Which is where I am right now. I am hostile to artificial intelligence for all the reasons. And then you said, but over time I became convinced that AI is a tool and it is the future. It is here. There's no fighting it. There's just a question of learning how to use it effectively. Talented people will use it to be more talented. And talented people who do not use it will fall behind. I would also say that untalented people will use it to give the illusion of talent.
Yeah, and still break.
Which is a problem. But so that's what I want to talk about between you. I'm going to have plenty to talk about. So, Philip, why? What changed your mind on AI? Because the short version, okay? You know I view this. But my view is that AI is stealing or threatening to steal and replace everything about us that makes us human. And the kids who are growing up these days are not learning to read and write and think critically and be the sort of talented people that we want to use AI. They're just not becoming that because they're substituting education with AI, and it's a real danger for thriving humans. That's my view. That's my concern.
Well, yeah, so we still have to go through a learning curve on how to adapt to that because it's only just been the last couple of years. The progression of the technology has just increased tremendously over the last, what, 3 years, four mm-hmm. years? Since GPT-3 really hit for public consumers to be able to use. And so we're still in the learning curve of how to do that. And we're coming out of the learning curve of how to deal with the, you know, lockdowns and COVID and everything else that kids went through just a few years before that, where they were stuck at home all the time.
Right.
Not able to go to school, or their classes were changed dramatically. So when it comes to the education side of it, it is a hot mess. It's absolutely nuts on how to do that.
Well, the number one issue I saw, what really drove my attention to AI and the data centers, and I mean, it all stemmed from touring top secret facilities and talking with our cybersecurity for our Navy and with other contractors and asking them, what can we do for you as a community? What can we do for, you know, national security? What are your concerns? You know, and the number one thing was, we are so behind. And I know we don't talk about it as a nation, because obviously you don't want that on the airwaves, because you don't want your enemy to know that you're behind, although they know it. Basically, what we see is the other countries are using AI. They're using these platforms. They're creating these systems. And they don't have any rules. They don't have any rules of engagement. They don't have a constitution. They don't have rights of citizens like we do. So they can do pretty much whatever they want. Whereas in America, we've tried to keep in that framework of how we develop and infiltrate and, you know, do our operations as a security component. So we're not using a lot of those systems. We're not doing the same things that they're doing. We don't have that ability because we have constraints on how we operate. But those constraints on how we operate have constrained how we create our infrastructure. So we have postponed a lot of things in our infrastructure because of the way we believe and operate as a nation. And in doing so, other countries are far ahead of us. And that's why we have a war going right now that nobody ever talks about. The cyber war is real. Every day, every single day, countries are trying to get in our systems through your computer, through the cloud, you know, through the universe, you know, and how do you combat that? You have to have the ability to operate. And with that comes data centers to process the data centers to help you create and manage these systems that you're running. So when I toured them and they said that they can't use the same tools, they don't have those permissions because of who we are, that bothered me. And so
because there's no equivalent of, say, the Geneva Convention for cyber warfare.
Right.
And so they're doing whatever they want to do, and we're operating within constraints.
Right.
I hear two different things, and I'm trying to reconcile them, and I don't know what the answer is. On the one hand, my perception is, like you say, you know, China and even Iran and North Korea and some of our other adversaries. Yeah, Russia, clearly, have very advanced cyber capabilities, and they don't have the sort of constraints that we have, and I believe that that's true. On the other hand, I hear the story that we have way more data centers than they have and that we are ahead, and that what they're trying to do is subvert American efforts to build infrastructure that they are essentially engaging in an intelligence operation against our vulnerable and easily misguided Democrat Socialists of America, who they've rallied up into a frenzy to go protest data centers as a form of cultural warfare because they don't want us to even fall to parity. So which is it? Where are we?
Both of those are true.
Okay.
We may have more data centers, but they're like Google, or, you know, they're not government related.
They're not weaponized in our national defense.
Yeah, good. You're very articulate. I didn't bring any notes. I just showed up with a phone. I don't care.
Is that your assessment too, Philip? Because this is kind of your industry, right?
Yeah, so it is. China especially, I mean, we might have more right now, but they have caught up very quickly.
And they have 10 times as many people as we have. Like, they have, well, not 10, but, you know, they have a lot more people than we have. They have an ability to scale up because of their system, their resources. They can just decide, we're going to do this and we're going to spend $1 trillion on it.
Yeah, so the biggest bottleneck in AI development and training and everything right now are power, the power infrastructure.
Okay.
And they are rolling out generators on flatbed trucks. They are building huge, like 10 megawatt generators, putting them onto container trucks and dropping them off at different facilities where they're building up data centers very quickly.
So they're doing now what they have been doing with Navy infrastructure and with missile defense and with building the islands. They're thinking, in 20 years, we want to be here. Here's what we have to do to get there. Let's do it.
A lot faster than 20 years.
And we're not doing that. And that's part of
the warfare.
And
how long does it take us to build a power plant?
Forever.
To permit one, not even a nuclear, I mean, which we should be doing faster, but any power plant.
I do like nuclear power, but whole other conversation. The idea is they see that we're trying to catch up as a nation as far as technology is concerned. They see, as you know, we're trying to bring manufacturing to the United States. We're trying to become more self-sufficient like we used to be. And they see that as an attack on the cyber warfare. If we become more independent as a nation in technology, then we are the upper hand again. So they are...
Which, by the way, credit to President Trump. I mean, I give President Trump a lot of grief on a lot of things, but he really is, across the board, finding ways to attack back against what China's been doing now for decades.
But we have to.
And we have to. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's a vulnerability, and eventually it'll catch up to us and we won't be the United States anymore. But so they're creating these narratives intentionally and rallying. I mean, you have Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians. Everybody thinks the sky is falling with data centers, and that was not on accident. It's not an accident.
Like the AI, the flock cameras, the data centers, this is all an intelligence operation.
Absolutely. Matter of fact.
The flock cameras are pretty bad, but yeah.
But that's been thrown into it, and that's easy to get people worked up about.
Because libertarians, big daddy government,
it's across
conservatives.
The board.
So it kind of inherently happened. But this whole narrative they've got stirred up. It's creating a frenzy, and people are fear that they fear what could happen. They don't most of the people, and you see it online, they start talking about data centers. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
They just start spitting stuff out because they saw it on a post or somebody, their friend read it somewhere. Don't ask where they read it because it doesn't matter. They just read it somewhere.
On Reddit a lot of times.
Exactly. Reddit.
Like the power thing, you know, where is the law and also the practice is that they bring their own power. The water thing, the law and the practice. Practices, they bring their own water. Yeah. In fact, typically they have to produce water as an output, if they do output it at all, that's cleaner than what they take in.
Exactly.
We're dealing with effluent, like Milton is trying to build a wastewater treatment plant, can't find a way to treat it, to get rid of its effluent. Gosh, I don't know. If you had a data center in Milton, you'd solve that problem all around. But, I'm just like, and if the future is these things, if the future requires this infrastructure, I don't want to ban it based on stupid arguments that were at least somewhat influenced by a foreign adversary who wants that outcome for us.
Yeah, I mean, not all of the arguments are stupid.
They do have merit.
And if the arguments were not there, if people were not saying, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is a problem, then honestly, the tech industry and the construction industries would not be focused on, okay, so how do we not use water anymore?
They wouldn't be working on doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we need to do closed systems with glycerin cooling? What do we need to do? You speed up the distribution and the creation of the submodular nuclear plants that we can just drop them in there, because power is the biggest problem. We're not getting a data center like that in Northwest Florida because we do not have the infrastructure.
Right.
FPL, you can't just take in something that uses an entire 12 neighborhoods worth of power and drop it in and expect it to work.
I can give you an example, very transparent. like I said before, when I was talking about data centers in the North End, and I was like, let's bring one here, let's do this. And I started meeting with FPL. I had conversations with a lot of folks. The number one issue was, how big is the data center? We can't do we can do one like for a hospital or for a university.
Which we have plenty of.
Right. But it was actually for IT. It was for cyber warfare is what the conversation I had at Corey Station. I mean, that resonated with me. And I was like, how can we continue the Center for Cybersecurity hub that we have in the Panhandle? Well, we have to be prepared infrastructurally to continue that. And so I started just having the conversation about data centers. How do we do it? Where can we build it? And the number one thing was, it can only be below, I think it was 20. It wasn't even 50.
Not even 50.
It was so tiny. And it was actually all we need if we were to do something, because it's really only to create that training infrastructure so we continue to grow and develop the minds of the future for defense.
And by the way, the law that was passed
I co-sponsored it. Hello.
484, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, SB 484.
But that did go through some revisions. For example, in the late process, they dropped the ban on NDA. It was going to ban NDAs for this, and that got rid of it. There are some other things in there that are, I think, less vigorous. You know, there was a distance provision. Yep. It was originally 5 miles from a house. That's absurd. But, a mile or something like that might make some of that stuff got deleted as well.
Right.
The article I was reading the other day was, and I kind of shared it with you guys in case you hadn't seen it, was that the power companies were actually kind of thrilled with the outcome because this gave them a roadmap for what they can do, which is not the read a lot of people have taken on this. But I see the side of it you're talking about, the national defense side, the, building for the future side. There's still that question in my mind of, but kids are using AI to cheat instead of learning how to reason. And people who
use it, lazy parenting, though, and government can never fix that.
But people who, I have spent a lifetime becoming good at language and learning, and I watch the meetings, and AI gets stuff wrong. AI, if I rely on AI to do what I would do to harvest information, I will not be as reliable as I am.
Of course.
And yeah. I also won't be as creative as I am. But the AI is as bad right now as it's ever going to be. It's only getting better. And that terrifies me.
And there are a lot of people out there who will be lazy and use it. And then, like you were saying, the people who are not qualified for it will still put out garbage in, garbage out. So, like,
the ability of the AI is a person. I mean, for example, you know, I have a 20th grade education, okay, grad school, right? I have a 20th grade education. Some people have a 10th grade education. A 10th grade education using AI can pretend to be a 17 or 18 or 20th grade. It amplifies, right? Mm-hmm. Not the same, not quite as good, at least not yet. Well, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what else terrifies me? That people can't write and read in cursive.
Yes.
I mean, we passed that law a couple of years ago, and people, like, lost their minds. I'm like, guys, our Constitution is written in cursive.
I can't write and read in cursive. I'm terrible at it.
Guys, the moment the government has to tell you what your rights are is the moment you just lost all your rights.
So we're going to pause it there or stop it there, unfortunately. So if you want to catch the rest of it, there's, what, about 5 more minutes, PJ, something like that left in the wrap. If you want to go online to our podcast page at newsradio923.com, you can catch it all. I just wanted you to hear that part because I thought some of her comments about Cory Station, about the value of data centers, about the varied nature of data centers, how to count them, what China, Iran, Russia, North Korea are trying to do, the ongoing conversation we have where I'll just be honest. I have been looking at the opponents of data centers and talking about this issue since they started making a stink, and it always struck me as a weird story. It's a really weird story. Why are these socialists so eager about this? And they've managed to get other people on their side on it, more so on the flock cameras, not as much on the data centers, and trying to figure out, you know, who's got them all riled up. Like, why? Do they think this is going to be effective for them or whatever? Well, Michelle explained it. You know, at least in part, our enemies are really excited about what the DSA is doing on data centers and the fact that New York bans them or whatever, you know, in the state. And I think there's pretty good evidence that they're actively working to get those folks worked up and that, you know, they're trying to figure out who's behind all of this. And our enemies don't want us to have those capabilities. And if we do have them, they only want them in the commercial sector and not in the, you know, the defense sector. And so just, you know, kind of keep that in mind as we continue to have this conversation about our preparation for the future. And we are a warfighting area, and here we are limiting our warfighting capability, I think. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and spend the summer in the sand relaxing and enjoying the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the new Cahoots. This acoustic duo from Pensacola, formed by songwriters Michael Garcia and Gordon Frank, will take the stage and they'll blend the sound of folk, bluegrass, and Americana. It's Bands on the Beach happening this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pennair Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at pennair.org/checking.
Federally insured by NCUA, Pennair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield on balances up to $10,000 with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Join Vinny Matassa and Helen Council from Kana O'Donovan Real Estate Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk. Vinny and Helen work with buyers, sellers, and investors. Learn about today's real estate market, get an inside look at the condo market, and hear about short-term rental information for investors on Pep Talk Wednesday morning at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
No cops! Roger, no. They're going to take you to jail for car theft!
Roger,
as far as you know. I don't even know if that's legal anymore. There's been a lot of changes in the law. Oh, man. Flesh was one of the top two or three movies that we quoted a lot in high school and college. I'll just say that. PJ, for you too?
I loved Flesh.
Oh, I haven't seen a sphincter that large since breakfast. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Interesting kind of announcement we got over the weekend that the Friday, I think, that the Navy is now going to be installing filtering systems on private wells near NAS Whiting Field if they have PFAS levels that exceed 70 parts per trillion. And if I remember, I'm going on memory here, but I believe that the federal standard for drinking water is 4 parts per million, 3 or 4. Remember we talked about this with Bruce Woody a bunch when he was still the executive director at ECUA and saying that, you know, basically that's as low as the detection capabilities are. Like if it's at 2, we can't tell the difference between 0, 2, and 4, essentially, so that's as low as we can detect it. So 70 is actually quite high. They're trying to move these folks onto regular water systems, but for now what they'll do is they'll provide them, if they're in the vicinity, if they test above 70, they'll provide them with their own, you know, cleaner water.
You're listening to News Radio.